We'll start at verse 8. We'll read to about verse 11. You know, verse 11 or 12, probably verse 11. And then we're going to try to get in the word a little bit. I've prepared a little bit more than was necessary. but we're going to stop when we have to stop. All right? So in Acts 6, 8, the Bible says, "And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, the Cyrenians, and the Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake." The Bible says, "Then they suborned men, which said, 'We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God.' And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came upon him," the Bible says. "And they came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council." Father God, we just come to you in the mighty name of Jesus and pray that you would bless your word. We pray that you would breathe life into your word. Let your word be up in me like fire shut up in my bones, O King. And I pray you set your people's heart on fire with your word. And I pray that you burn things out of us, God, that you don't want in us, O God. We don't come here just to sing a song, Lord, with your word. We don't come here just to entertain with your word. But we come to be changed this morning. We come to be conformed into your image, God. Show us your glory today, that you might lift us up and promote us from glory to glory, from strength to strength, to faith to faith. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Saints of God, last time we were here in the book of Acts, amen, we noticed that a murmuring occurred in the church. And this murmuring was because the Grecian Hebrews, the Hellenistic Hebrews, were neglected in the daily administration of food. The apostles heard of this issue, amen, from none other than the Most High God. They quickly come in and talk to the church and asserted that they would like to solve the problem of the administration of food, but they were not able to because they had some priorities that they need to respect. The priorities of the apostles were none other than the word and prayer. That's what came first for the apostles. The apostles told them, go ahead and select 7 men of honest report, amen, good men, full of wisdom, full of the Holy Ghost. And these men would help them in the passing out and administration of food. This would come to be the first deacons of the church. When they were installed, amen, the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied because God's church worked best when people, hallelujah, are placed in the position where they're supposed to be. The word of God increased, the number of disciples multiplied, and Levites, the Levitical priesthood, began to believe the gospel. We picked up in verse 8, and we noticed the Bible focusing on one of the servants of God, one of the 7, a man of God by the name of Stephen. Somebody say Stephen. We started going through, amen, a few points about Stephen. We've gone through 6 already. We said that number 1, Stephen was full of faith. Number 2, Stephen was full of power. He did great wonders and great miracles. We talked about how the synagogue came against him, these schools of learning, these Hebrew churches. Then we talked about how they couldn't agree on anything else, but they came together to go against God and to go against Stephen. They came together disputing with Stephen. But even though they came together, though hand joined in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished. Amen. It don't matter how many you put against the Lord, you cannot overcome him. The Bible says they were not able to resist Stephen. And it was 2 things we talked about. We talked about his wisdom. Somebody say wisdom. And the spirit. And the spirit of God that was within him. And so they couldn't withstand him. They couldn't resist him. Amen. This morning we're going to continue. And the title of this message is Stephen Part 4. And we're going to have, I have 2 points, but I'm thinking we're just going to cover 1. Amen. We're going to take our time. Amen. Sometimes you got to marinate a text, Brother Joe. Amen. You can't just throw it in the pot and just move fast. We're just going to marinate it. Amen. And I'm ready for these 2 points, but I think that this first point is going to be all we need this morning. Amen. The first point that I'm prepared for is they suborn men. The second point is blasphemous words. And so, saints, without further ado, let's begin with our first point, and maybe our only point this morning. They suborn men. If you look at 6:11, the Bible says clearly, Then they suborned men, which said, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God." Remember, verse 11 says, "Then." Then is a transitional word. It's a word that describes a sequence of events. Amen. So whenever you see the then in the Bible, you want to move up a few verses so you can see what happens and you can get the whole context. As we look at what happens in verse 8, 9, and 10, remember, Stephen did great miracles. The synagogues come together. They argue and enter a formal debate with Stephen. And in verse 9, amen, and 10, they can't resist the wisdom and the spirit that God gave Stephen. Amen. He destroys them. He crushes them in the formal debate. Amen. And the Bible says in verse 11, then, after the debate, after he crushed them, after they can't resist his wisdom and his spirit, then they suborn men. And that's the context in which we're in. All right? That word suborn means to privately instigate. It means to privately prompt or induce or persuade men. It means to try to win them over to your side in a private fashion. When the other party is without representation or without voice. It can even go as far as you trying to win somebody to your side so badly that you'll even pay them or try to bribe them with money just so that they can be on your team. The Bible says after Stephen crushed them in a public debate, they secretly, they privately began to suborn men on their side. I love what the NIV says about this verse, and I don't normally quote the NIV, but just so you can understand, amen, my Greek study is in line with the reality of the verse. The NIV says, then they secretly, somebody say secretly, they secretly persuaded some men to say, "We have heard Stephen speak blasphemous words against God." Listen, listen, they could not defeat Stephen in a public debate, so they move to private slander to beat him. Anybody hear me up in here? When they can't beat you publicly, a lot of times they'll go behind your back and stab you in the back privately. All right? And that's what they did with Stephen. All right? And what this is right here is something that we call slander. Somebody say slander. All right? And slander is when we privately defame people. We try to ruin their character. And slander is when we do it through our mouth. Amen. You know, the Bible speaks about the mouth a lot. Amen. And it don't really speak too good about the mouth. Amen. For in the multitude of words, sin is present. Amen. The Bible says, be slow to speak, be swift to listen, and be slow to anger. Amen. The Bible says the tongue is an unruly evil, set on fire straight from the pits of hell. Hey, God, they say sometimes that the reason why God put lips around the mouth and teeth around the mouth, amen, and a little string under the tongue, amen, is so that we can keep our mouths closed. You understand what I'm saying? If you ain't got nothing good to say about somebody, don't say nothing at all right? Well, they began to slander Stephen, amen. And slander, you got to understand, when you enter into a private discussion about a person to ruin their character, amen, slander is not of the Spirit of God. It's a work of the flesh. And it's when you try to defame them or put them down, it's a work of the flesh. When you begin to talk about somebody else, amen, you are in the flesh. Anybody hear me up in here? You are in the flesh, particularly when you're slandering somebody, all right? Now, remember, I'm not talking about you have a confidant and you have one person that you talk to, amen, to vent some things to. You know, maybe it's a spouse or maybe it's a minister. Maybe it's a deacon. Maybe it's first lady. Maybe it's pastor. But it's not you going all around town talking about people. That's a difference. You see, we all need a vent sometimes. And maybe even get some advice sometimes. But when you slander, amen, you talking to people who ain't got nothing to do with the situation. And your, amen, motive, amen, is character assassination. All right? You want to make them look bad. to as many people as you possibly can. And so here you are, you in Walmart, you talking about this person. You in the mall, you talking about this person. You don't even know the person you're talking to. The person you're talking to could be related to the person you're talking about. All right? All right? It's not slander when you need a vent, you need a debrief, you need to kind of get that off your chest, amen? Because sometimes you better get it off your chest before you punch somebody in the eye. You understand what I'm saying? All right? I'm not talking about in confidence. I'm not talking about amen and advice. But I'm talking about that malicious, consistent, chronic character assassination. Amen. That floats from one person, one house to another. The Bible call them busybodies. They go from one house to another. They call one number to another. You know what I'm saying? And that's what these men were doing with Stephen. They were going from one place, one man to another, and they were slandering Stephen's good name. All right? Since they couldn't beat him in a public debate, they decided to privately slander him. When you operating in that, listen, you're in the flesh. All right? Romans 1, if we had time, describes the reprobate as a slanderer. All right? It's one of the fruit of a reprobate, a person that God done took their hands off of. All right? And given over to wicked things. That's a reprobate. All right? Also, James talk about slander as not only being of the flesh, not only being a work of a reprobate, but slander is a demonic work. It's something that comes from the devil. In fact, the Greek word for slander in the New Testament is none other than the Greek word diablos. Somebody say diablos. The word diablos is devil. All right? And so when we call somebody a slanderer, you know what we're calling them? A devil. Because that's what the devil do. Right? In Revelations 12, it talks about the devil. And it calls him another title, Miss Amisha. Do you know it? It calls him the what? The accuser of brethren. He floats around heaven and earth accusing the people of God of stuff that they're either doing or not doing. He rubbed their face through the mud, and he do it to Almighty God. You see what I'm saying? Oh, Job gonna curse you, God. You know what I'm saying? And we've seen him slander before. He slandered God, his creator, in the Garden of Eden. Oh, God only knows that when you eat this fruit, you're gonna be like him. And God's such a jealous, envious person, he don't want you to be like him. God don't want the best for you. He was a slanderer. So slanders of the flesh. Slander is the work of a reprobate, but slander is also demonic. And a lot of the times when somebody's slandering, you can see the snake tongue of the devil while they're talking just come out their mouth sometimes. If you look close in the spirit, you're going to hear the hiss of the serpent. God bless the truth. Come on, give God some glory for that. Amen. In Leviticus 19:16, God knew that the Hebrews would have a problem with slander. He knew it. I want to tell you, it seemed like no people slander like the Hebrews. Black folks slander one another to no end. And God put it even in the Levitical law, in Leviticus 19:16. I don't have it, amen, but maybe the sound booth can get it up there. But if you get it up there, try to get it like in the ESV or the NLT. But the King James says, he tells the people of God, he says, listen, don't go up and down around, amen. Oh, God, look what it says. Thou shalt not go up and down as a what? As a talebearer. You go around spreading mess, gossip, shoo-shooing. You're talking about people. He said, don't do that. All right? And I'm going to tell you, this is a problem in the Hebrew community. And I won't talk about it. All right? I won't talk about it. And when I saw it in the text, they secretly, privately suborn men. I said, oh, God, this is going to take the whole sermon time right here. This is going to take the whole sermon time right here. Yes, it will. Because we got a problem. Right? When we read about Judas Maccabee and the Maccabees, 1 Maccabee around chapter 8. Judas Maccabee was a great Hebrew leader who that most Greek and Roman armies couldn't defeat when he got the Hebrews on one accord to fight. Amen. Judas Maccabee, amen, was an awesome leader. And when you read the Maccabees and the Apocrypha, you get a historical setting of what can happen when the people of God come together. One of the greatest complaints of Judas Maccabee was this. He said, man, I got to go to Rome and see how those people lead. He said, because the Romans, amen, their people follow one man. And they're not envious of him. They're not jealous of him. They don't talk about him. He said, I got to go see what they're doing. Because them Negroes, them Hebrews don't act like that. You see? And Judas Maccabee, he was the subject of great, great, great slander. Amen. From his own people. When he was sent from God, amen, to liberate him. Isn't that something? That the Hebrews will slander the people that God sent to bless them. And Stephen gonna give us the history in the next chapter. He said, y'all always resist the Holy Spirit. He sent Moses. You say, Moses, who had made thee a judge and a ruler over us? He sent the prophets. And Jesus said, which of the prophets did you not stone? Did you not kill? Jesus gave the parable, amen, of the husbandman, amen, planting a vineyard and digging a moat around it, amen, and lending it out to people, amen, and sending his servants, and they stone one, they beat another, they abuse another, and he says, surely if I send my son, oh God, surely if I send my son, they're going to have respect for my son. And what them Hebrews did, what them Hebrews did. Drug the son out of his father's vineyard and killed him and murdered him then. Huh? I'm asking God for an anointing to destroy the yoke of slander and backbiting on our people. I'm praying. And if you fasting for me, amen, fast that I might, that God will give me that anointing. Because it's the anointing that destroys the yokes. Huh? Our people just need to stop talking about one another. We need to get to a place where we love each other so much where we won't even open our mouth upon one another. Because the mouth is where it starts. You saying, man, we need to stop killing each other. Amen. It starts about us killing each other with our words. Amen. Because that's where the fight starts. Oh, bruh, I heard you saying something. Oh, bruh. And then the fight starts. Then the gun starts. If we could stop killing each other with words, maybe we could stop killing each other with guns and knives and, you see, slander. Going in private and talking about one another. And God knew that. That's why God, he put that in Leviticus. Way in the Old Testament, y'all stop that. Y'all stop that. You see? Socrates says this. He says, when the debate is lost, slander becomes the tool of the loser. This is Socrates, a Greek philosopher. When the debate is lost, slander becomes the tool of the loser. And if anybody get the best of you, you have a propensity, amen, to go and talk about them. Amen. Instead of losing gracefully, instead of humbling yourself, right? Let me give you a Hebrew proverb that I found. It was just a little quote I found. It says, slander slays three people, three persons, the speaker, the spoken to, and the spoken of. Nobody wins in slander. The speaker is injured, is harmed. Why? Because listen, when you slander somebody, it's sin. And God going to judge you for them words. All right? And God ain't going to bless no slanderer, no. So the slanderer is hurt. The spoken to. Wait, Pastor, what you talking about? Well, when somebody's slandering your presence, that hurts you. Because it pollutes you. And now somebody who never did you anything, you got aught with because you're polluted. Through a root of bitterness, many are polluted. The spoken of is harmed, amen, because their character, their name is dragged through the mud, all right? And that's slander. Now, Pastor, let me just keep on moving. Y'all still up out there? Come on, God. Pastor, why do people slander one another? Right? Most of the time it's because of jealousy. When somebody jealous of another person, they slander. All right? And the Hebrews, amen, got a real problem with that. Sister got a better outfit on than them. Got more expensive hat than her. Got a better home than her. Or just look better than her. All right? They won't talk about somebody. And they'll do it on the cool, you know what I'm saying? You know? But that's that slander. And it's because of jealousy. All right? Slander can also happen, amen, when, hallelujah, somebody want to push themselves up over somebody else because of pride. When you want to be number one, but the person that has that position, hallelujah, is in the spot you want. So what you do, you slander, so that in the eyes of the people, they can come down and you can move up. We just talked about somebody doing that on Tuesdays. Absalom did that to his daddy. If I was king, right? That's slander. When we want to make ourselves look better than somebody else. Search your heart this morning. The things that I'm talking about, hey God, if you just let them come in your ears, you'll never know that you're guilty of these things if you don't search your heart. Examine yourself. Begin to ask yourself, am I jealous? Do I get upset when people get things I don't have? Do I get mad when somebody is praised for the good work they do? When they come in and they say, oh, she sung so good. Yeah, but she cracked those few times when she said that. You know, yeah, she looked good, but that ain't her nails. That ain't her eyelashes. And what you try to do, you try to step down the compliments because your heart can't take somebody else being lifted up in your presence. You can't be happy for nobody, you know, and that's because of your own pride, and it's because of envy. And when that's in you, you're going to slander people. You're going to character assassinate them. To make yourself look better. Amen. When you have a root of bitterness, when somebody has hurt you, all right, you're going to slander them if you don't deal with that root of bitterness. Amen. If somebody hurt you, if they did you wrong, you're going to talk about them. All right? You will. You will. You're going to talk about it. It's a root of bitterness. You have unforgiveness. You're bitter on the inside. All right? And so you go about, and there you go. You go to your mom, you go to your brother, you go to your sister, and you just murder her, all right? With the knife, the sword of your tongue, all right? And it's because of unforgiveness. It's because you're hurt. Remember the old adage, hurt people hurt people. And that includes hurting people with your tongue. You see what I'm saying? Or you want to win them to your side. You slander people because y'all have competing ideas, all right? This person want the room blue, you want it black, all right? And so what you do, you go behind the scenes and try to win the people, amen, in the congregation or that's going to be making the decision. You've been watching Big Brother too long. You've been watching Survivor too long. You don't learn the ways of the TV instead of the ways of the G-O-D. And so you go about to make secret alliances and you suborn men. You go privately, secretly. You know, oh, he want to do this and he want to do that. That's not no good idea. Now, this person don't have an opinion either way. But there you go. You project your opinion on them. And you win them to your side. And it's all an attempt just to get your selfish way. You know? Just to get your selfish way. Just to win them to your side. That's what they did with Stephen. All right? And that's slander. And it's a lack of faith is what it is. If God gave you something, you ain't got to go private and slander and all that. You ain't got to do that. Because if God be for you, who can be against you? You just trust God. Trust God. There's been plenty of things that in my spirit I want to do in Philadelphia, but I ain't going about in secret this land. I'm going to give the word of the Lord and tell you the vision of the God, of God. A visionary don't slander, man. A visionary throw the vision up, amen, and trust that the vision, since it's from God, that people, the people of God, going to run with the vision. It's not a slander thing. It's not a secret thing. See what I'm saying? Well, who slanders other people, Pastor? Everybody. Husbands slander wives. Anybody hear me up in here? Wives slander husbands. I mean, they're living in the same house, they're sleeping in the same bed, but they jump out the bed and go run to their girl. Girl, you'd never guess what that Negro did last night. And they go from house to house talking about their husband and wonder why none of their friends and their families like their husband. And everybody's saying, you should divorce that man. Oh, God, everybody against us. Yeah. Because you done polluted everybody. Same thing with the man of God with his wife. Go everywhere to everybody talking about that woman of God. All right? It's not good, man. It's not good. You know, you're going to have people hating your spouse, right? And they're going to be looking at you like a new fool, right? And you're polluting innocent people. I wonder how many fights and how many murders and how much trouble we could avoid in our community if husbands and wives wouldn't spread their business all over Lafayette. But find a confidant. Find somebody, a good friend to talk to. You know? So spouses slander one another. I'm going to take my time with this. Parents slander children. Oh, and in the church they do it for show. You know what I'm saying? Oh, pray for my child. She on drugs. She hit me the other day, this and that. We telling the whole prayer circle about what she done did and what he done did. And so we slander them. The problem with slandering your children is this. You see what I'm saying? You know, our words have creative power. So what you say about your children come to pass. We speak those things that are not as though they were. So if you continually speak ill about your child, why are you surprised when badness and wickedness come out of them? Parents slander children. How a mama going to slander the child that come out of her own body? Out of her own body. How daddy gonna go talk to strangers about his son that carry his name and have his DNA? That's not love, man. That's not love. That's not love. You know? But it happens all the time. We need to learn this lesson, Hebrews, about this slander thing. Your marriage never going to work as long as you slander your spouse. Your children, your relationship never going to be what it is as long as you slander them. You know? Who else slanders? Well, not only do parents slander children, but children slander parents. Girl, you should have seen what my mama had on. It's all right to talk about that amongst the family, but y'all doing that in the mall. Or what? That's your mama. You know what I'm saying? Have mercy, God. Friends slander one another. You see? And church folks slander one another. You say, Pastor, what you mean? In the house of God? Oh, yeah, in the house of God. Christians talk about each other, man. And it's a sad thing, my friends. You know? It's a sad thing. I have in my notes, people do this all the time. They will come to you, slander, and give you their story. Try to win you to their side when you have only heard half the story. All right? All right? So I'm transitioning now. So we know what slander is and what talking about people is. Amen. And I pray to God that God convicted some of us. Amen. And just really dealt with us. We don't go talking about somebody with everybody. You don't do that. All right. So that's wrong. But let me give you another wrong. All right. Another wrong is this. When you pass judgment on somebody, when you only hear part of the story, that's just as wrong as slander. All right. This means, amen, you're not the slanderer. You're the person that's listening. All right. Now, you are listening part and they come with that foolishness. All right. And here you are eating that stuff up. All right. And you don't have the whole story. All right. You're just as guilty as the slanderer. You're a new fool. You understand what I'm saying? All right. You say, why, Pastor? Well, look what the Bible says in Proverbs. Let's do 18:13 first. You say, Pastor, you call him a fool? Yeah, I call him a fool. Why? Because he that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. What does that mean? If you answer something before you hear the whole story, if you draw a conclusion, amen, before you get all the facts, Solomon says it's folly. You know what folly is? Folly is you are foolish. You're a fool. You're a fool to believe one spouse when you ain't never heard the other spouse. You're a fool to believe that mama when you ain't never heard that daughter side of it. You're a fool to believe one friend when you ain't never heard the other friend's story. You're a fool. You're a fool. You're a new fool, the Bible's saying. You're not only a fool, but it's a shame, he said. It's a shame. It's a shame because it's dishonorable, it's disgraceful, amen, it's disrespectful to not give a person their say, their opportunity to present their case, to not give them their time in court. That's a shame, saints. It's disgraceful and disrespectful. Listen to me good. Strive not to be a slanderer. But also strive not to be a person that's moved with slander. Oh, anybody hear me up in here? I'm telling you, I'm going with y'all or without y'all. God done gave me a word on this, and I'm going to preach this thing. All right? In Proverbs 18:17, the Bible says this: he that is first in his own cause seemeth just, but his neighbor cometh and searching him. You see, the problem was these people, staying in context to what we're talking about, these synagogue people came and they suborned men. They came in there and they secretly, privately talked to people, but Stephen was in there. They came and they convinced people, but Stephen never got a chance to speak. All right? And this is going to cost Stephen his life. It's not only going to cost his reputation, it's going to cost him his life, y'all. Why? Because some foolish people, some shameful people, didn't have the godliness and the character to refrain from making a judgmental decision without hearing the whole story. All right? It's going to cost him his life. It's going to cost him his life. All right? I'm charging you today. Don't entertain that foolishness. And don't be simple. Man, when I'm listening to a story, man, look what I'm thinking about. Yeah. Right. I wonder what they would say about what you're saying. This is how I'm listening to it. All right? That's how I'm listening to it. Because there's three sides to every story. There's her side, there's his side, and then there is the truth. Anybody hear me up in here? The Bible says that it is the simple that believe every word. All right? So for you to sit there and let somebody bamboozle you when you ain't got all the facts, the Bible declares that you're simple this morning. All right? What I want to do for you, Philly, is give you some keys to discernment this morning. I want to help you. We live in an age of deception. It's an age of slander. It's an age of gossip and people coming with false caricatures of people. Anybody hear me up in here? But I want you to be strong, steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And I want you to be able to see through guck. Pastor, was guck, trash and filth that they pour out on upon a person that you know ain't true. I need you to be able to see through that. All right? All right? Proverbs, he that is first when his own cause, he that is first in his own cause seemeth just. Look at this in the ESV. All right? The one who states his case first seems right until the other comes and examines him. You see? I done been in many trials, y'all. Where I'm either watching a trial or presenting a case. Or I'm co-chair presenting a case. When the first lawyer come out and present his case, you like, wow, this dude is innocent. You understand what I'm saying? Because that's the way it seemed when one side talking. That's the way it seemed. That's the way it seemed. But when that other attorney stand up, you know what I'm saying? And begin to present their case. Then you have a fuller picture of what's really going on. Anybody hear me up in here? All right? All right? Here we go. Good people are hurt by this tactic all the time, saints. Either by slander or by the people of God accepting slander when they ain't heard the whole story. Remember, this is of the flesh, this is the actions of a reprobate, and this is demonic because the devil is the accuser of brethren. I want to tell you they did the same thing to Jesus this morning. Not only a good man, but a perfect man. And in John 7:51, Nicodemus tells the elders of Israel, he tells them clearly, does our law judge any man? Look at it. Before it hears him and know what he's doing. Nicodemus was trying to be the voice of reason while the Pharisees and Sadducees were judging Jesus already and not giving him an opportunity to speak his case. You know? I wonder how many of us have been guilty of this. You know? Only listening to one side of the story. And listen to me. It's all fun and laughs when you are listening to slander. But it's not when you're the one that's being slandered. And the higher you go in life, the more people can see you. The higher you go in life, the more people talk about you. You see, it's fun when you're at the ground level because ain't nobody talking about you. Ain't nobody talking about you. Ain't nobody saying nothing about you. But the higher you go, amen. Ask our bosses, our business owners. Ask our ministers. Ask our deacons. Ask the people, amen, that God uses in a mighty way. All right? The higher you go, the more visibility you get. You know, you could see tall buildings from miles away. Right? You can't even see the little ground level buildings, you know. But when you're driving into a city, you could see the big buildings. It's the big buildings that get the attention. And therefore, the big buildings get the slander. And it's cool, man, when you're the one hearing the slander. But when your day come to get slandered, you ain't going to like that. And you're going to wish somebody would have listened to this sermon. You're going to say, Shalanda, you're going to say, why I don't get my chance to speak? Why they gonna judge me like that and not give me an opportunity? Jesus say, Nicodemus say, does our law judge any man before it hears him and know what he doing? Right? Don't slander. Don't entertain slandering by only getting half the story. All right? And get ready for your day. Get ready for your day. Because if they talked about Jesus, they're going to talk about you. Woo! Listen, one of the stories that stick out to me is the story of Naboth and Ahab. And some of y'all might not know the story, so I'm going to do my best to kind of go through it with you. But it's a story to me of a people, amen, that heard slander and heard half a story and didn't get the other side of the story. It's just like our text. They suborned men against Stephen and didn't give Stephen an opportunity to go to those same men in private and tell his side. And listen, we're going to read a little bit, all right? And I just want y'all to follow along. I'm going to be talking and looking at 1 Kings 21. Let's look at verse 1 for a second. The Bible says, "And it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria." So we got two characters. We have Ahab, who was a wicked king of the northern 10 tribes of Israel. When the civil war had happened, they had split. All right. So Ahab is a wicked king. And we have Naboth. Naboth is a godly man. Naboth owns a piece of property right by the king's palace. All right. He owns what we call a vineyard, amen, where he has plants and grapes and whatnot, and so he owns a vineyard. The Bible says in verse 2, "And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, Give me thy vineyard that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near my house, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it. Or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money." So we have an option right here. Ahab is offering to buy the field of Naboth. But Naboth know that Ahab is wicked. And he likes his field, and he sure don't want to sell his field to a wicked man. You understand what I'm saying? And so he goes into saying, "Nah, I'm not going to sell my inheritance to you." You know, and so he goes there in verse 3. "And Naboth said to Ahab, The Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee." You know, "and Ahab came into his house heavy displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite has spoken to him. For he said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And so Ahab come in the house with a hanging lip." He come in the house boudé. Somebody say boudé. Yep. "And he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread." Now, what you don't know about Ahab right now is that Ahab is married. And if you thought Ahab was wicked, his wife is even wickeder. If wickeder is a word, she's more wicked. All right? Anybody know the name of Ahab's wife? Jezebel. All right? In verse 5, "But Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said unto him, Why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? And he said unto her, Because I spake to Naboth the Jezreelite, and he said unto me, Give me thy vineyard for money, or else, if it please thee, I will give you another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. And Jezebel, his wife, said unto him, Dost thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? Boy, what's wrong with you? You the king. I don't care what Naboth say, you the king. You could do what you want. You see? Watch her wickedness. She told him, Arise, eat your bread, let thine heart be merry. I will give thee this vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. I'm going to take care of this. In verse 8, "So she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal and sent the letters unto the elders and to the nobles that were in his," that's Naboth, "in Naboth's city." Where were they dwelling? They were dwelling with Naboth. Now, when the Bible say two things that mean the same thing twice, God doing that for a reason. They sent letters to the elders of his city. And where did these elders dwell? They dwelled with Naboth. God, I don't know. They lived with Naboth. They knew him. They knew how godly he was. They knew how he operated. But Ahab and Jezebel send letters to the elders, one side of the story. All right, come on, look. And she wrote in a letter saying, proclaim a fast, and set Naboth on high among the people, and set two men, sons of Belial, wicked, worthless, lawless men, before him to bear witness against him, saying, thou didst blaspheme God and the king, and then carry him out and stone him that he may die. All he didn't do was not sell Ahab a field that was his. It's like Jesus said in a parable, can I not do what I want with that which is my own? How you gonna kill a man for doing something with that he doing with? Oh God, I can't even get it out. How you gonna kill a man for doing what he want with what he owns? In 11, and the men of this, and the look what it says again. And the men of whose city? Of his city. You see how the Bible putting that in there? Of Naboth's city. The men of his city. The elders, the nobles, who were the inhabitants. Where? In you see the Bible talking, right? They did what? They did as Jezebel had sent unto them. And as it was written in the letters which she had sent unto them. Never got Naboth's side of the story. Never even heard Naboth say, listen, the dude just want to buy my field. He mad because I don't want to sell it. They proclaim a fast, set Naboth on high among the people, and there came in two men, children of Belial, sat before him. The men of Belial witnessed against him, even against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth did blaspheme God and the king, which was all a lie. Then they carried Naboth forth out of the city, and they stoned him with stones, that he died. Then they sent to Jezebel, saying, Naboth is stoned and is dead. And it came to pass, when Jezebel heard that Naboth was stoned and was dead, Jezebel said to Ahab, arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, which he refused to give thee for money, for Naboth is not alive, but dead. That's a story of somebody receiving slander and never asking questions and never giving the other party an opportunity to speak. A good man was murdered because he didn't want to sell a wicked king his field. I wonder how many people are murdered in the spirit. Murdered in their character, you know, for doing right. Doing right. And Hebrews only getting half the story. Don't ever be an Ahab and Jezebel. Don't slander. But don't you be like the people of Jezreel either. Don't entertain slander and only get half the story. All right? When a husband come to you and talk about his wife, take it, like they say, with a grain of salt. Because that Negro probably wrong too. You understand what I'm saying? All right? And people wonder about me. They say, well, man, Pastor, you heard him first. He going to turn your heart. You don't even know me like that. You don't even know me like that. You ask my wife. My wife will laugh if she hears something like that. Because I'm smiling, I'm agreeing, but I'm not agreeing on the inside. Because I'm using discernment. And I'm saying, just like you call her wicked, you may be just as much as wicked as her. All right? Because it takes two to tango, saints. And some of y'all done rode off a woman of God in here that's a good godly woman. Because her husband done talk about it. Some of y'all done wrote off a man of God up in here, all right? A good man of God, all right? Because a wife done come here and slandered him. You know? That's drawing conclusions before you hear the whole story. Some people will listen to a parent about a child and don't get the whole story. Oh, that child wrong for that. Oh, she wrong. He wrong for that. Have you ever asked a child what's really going on in that house? Man, y'all not feeling me up in here. You'd be feeling me if your mama slandered or if your daddy slandered you. You believe that sister or that brother that's slandering the other sister and the brother when you don't know what's really going on. You believe that friend, that church member, right? Now, while I'm here, let me tell you, amen, one of the reasons why we believe slander and we swallow it hook, line, and sinker, right? I didn't say it earlier, but I want to say it right now, amen. When we have unbiblical relationships, write that down. Unbiblical relationships, unbiblical ties. We are prone to believe people we have unbiblical relationships with. All right? When the relationship is not right in the sight of God, when we love them too much, Pastor, can you love too much? Yeah, when you love them more than God. And when you love them more than the truth, all right? Unbiblical relationships. And we get into unbiblical relationships with a plethora of different people. Don't you know that husbands and wives could be in an unbiblical relationship? And I've seen it. And so your husband come and tell you about this person, all right? And, all right, and I'm going to get into something else here in a second. All right, your husband come and tell you about this person. Now, you never known this person to act like that before a day in your life. All right, and this person has only been good to you. But your husband come and say that, and you believe your husband, all right, over truth, all right, over the word of God, over the move of God. You believe your husband, all right, over what God is doing is because of an unbiblical tie. All right, you like a sapphire. You like a sapphire. You're going to do anything he say because he the one that's saying it. And it don't matter if it's against truth. It don't matter if it's against God. It don't matter if it's against the move of God. That's your husband. And you have an unbiblical relationship with him. And you will go against God for him. And so when he come and slander, amen, no matter if he wrong or right, you're going to accept his half of the story because you have an unbiblical love for him. I done seen this plenty of times with wives, with women. Oh, God. Women go to them husbands and begin to whisper in their ear. And I don't know how close they get and if they give a little sugar while they whisper. I don't know. But them men flip out. The men leave their church, leave their job, forsake their pastor, forsake their 12-leader, talk about their ministry here. The men trip out. Trip out. It had no reason for it. And listen, only heard half the story. But it's because of an unbiblical relationship. Now, we ain't never had no problem with this dude before. You understand what I'm saying? Me and the dude, we ace boom coom. How we do that? Me and you will never part. All right? That woman get a problem. And she tell her slanderous side of the story. While they sleeping on their bed, probably over a good meal or something. You never guess what Deacon did. You never guess what Pastor did. And look, that brother not strong enough. Not wise enough. You know, not filled with the Holy Ghost enough. To get the whole story, even if it is your husband, even if it is your wife that's saying it. All right? Oh, you got to hear me up in here. All right? A husband is a head. As a head, you can't move for anything, no man. You got to be solid, dog. And your decisions that you make can't be fickle. You a leader. And as a leader, you make decisions, amen, that's going to influence and affect your whole home, dog. When you decide to move, you're just not moving you. You're moving your children. And when you move your children from a place where they're supposed to be, all hell can break loose. So what you do is, as a man of God, you listen, you don't get no half a story when you make decisions. You get a whole story, man. I don't care who it is that's talking to you. All right? You're like, okay, babe, I heard you. All right? for the 15th time. Now, can you hush it up till I get the other side? Hush it up. You know? Don't do me that. Because you might be in a bad place, but you're trying to drag me in a bad place. And I need to be clear on my decision making. So tell me your piece. Now, that's it now, man. That's it. Because if I move, amen, and get the spirit that's on you, and I move us out of line prematurely. If I'm not man enough to have my own opinion. If I'm not man enough to draw my own conclusion. You see, my children going to suffer for it. My marriage going to suffer for it. Everything going to suffer for it. Unbiblical relationships, unbiblical ties. And listen, we do this not just with spouses. No, can I just go off for a second? All right? But we do this with family. We do this with family. There's some people sitting in here, I could probably point them out, that have unbiblical relationships with family, with their brothers and their sisters, with their mamas and their daddies, with their cousins, aunts, uncles, nieces, nephews, unbiblical. And going to receive one side of the story because of that unbiblical relationship and not even seek to get the other side because my cousin told me this. My sister told me this. And I'm going to move out because she my sister, because he my brother. What if you was married? I mean, what if your sister or your brother was a fool? Huh? What if there was a fool? Huh? You going to follow a fool? You know when the blind lead the blind, both going to fall into a ditch? Don't you know that? All right? Unbiblical relationships. Unbiblical relationships. Watch them in your life. It make you prone to get a half a story. Does it mean you don't love your husband? No, you love him to pieces. Does it mean you don't love your wife? No, you love her to pieces. Does it mean you don't love your family? No, you love them to pieces. You love them so much you're not going to let them trick you. Woo! Woo! I'm talking about some next level discernment stuff here. I really am. I really am. Can you tell when you have an unbiblical tie? Can you tell it? Can you tell when you love them so hard that just based upon your love for them, you're going to do things that's outside the will of God? Have you seen it before? Huh? Look at the rest of this verse. And we're going to shut it down. God, please anoint me, God. Please, God, I'm begging you, Daddy, please. If you could just do it in our church for right now. Where we don't character assassinate, where we don't slander, Daddy. Where we don't accept half-truths, Daddy. Daddy, please, Daddy, please make us one. Make us one like you and Yahshua are one. Make us one, Daddy. In Jesus' name. Look at the rest of the verse. Then they suborn men. In verse 6:11 of Acts. Then they suborned men, which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words. We're not going to go to the second point, but I just got to deal with this. We have heard him. We have heard him. All right? The people that debated Stephen go to these men that they suborned, and they say, we have heard him. We have heard him. Mark, that's a problem for me. That's a problem for me. All right? Why is it a problem for you, Pastor? This is the thing. When they say we have heard him speak, all right, that's hearsay, Mark. The people that they want to render a judgment about Stephen, they have not actually heard it themselves. They are relying upon the men of the synagogue. Amen. They relying upon what they heard, what they seen, what they experienced. All right? And that's what we call in the legal profession hearsay. And it's not admissible on the normal circumstances, not admissible in court. Why? Why? Well, listen to me. How you gonna believe something somebody else heard? How you gonna believe that? Especially when it's calling upon you to judge somebody's character. To make a decision about whether they're a good person, a bad person, whether they're right, whether they're walking with God. Now, you ain't never heard them or seen them do nothing. And them people come in there, they sub-burn you in private. We have heard him. Stop, my brother. I ain't never heard him do nothing. I ain't never saw her do anything. In fact, everything that I've seen and heard is good. All right? All right? This is the silver bullet for slander. All right? Don't you be judging people and critical of people when somebody come and tell you things that they heard and they saw. Anybody feeling me up in here? All right? All right? Oh, you're not feeling me, but you're going to feel me when it happened to you. I'm getting you ready for promotion because promotion coming. And don't you know with promotion, amen, come persecution. And people going to talk about you, John. They're going to walk up to you and they say, such and such said that you did. And you're going to say, I never even did that. And what are you doing believing them anyway? That's hearsay, dog. That's hearsay. And that's not admissible in court. And the reason it's not admissible in court is because the person that's telling you that they heard it, that they saw it, what? They could be lying. They could be lying, man. And in the case of our context right here, in the text right here, they are lying. Stephen ain't ever blasphemed God. He ain't ever blasphemed Moses. We have heard him. That was a bold-faced lie. Don't cast no judgment on nobody. Don't believe hearsay when they slander. If God wants you to know something about a person, he going to show it to you. You understand what I'm saying? And you're going to be able to say, you know what I'm saying? I saw it myself. Hebrew talk about each other. They never saw nothing, but they talk about each other. They never heard nothing, but they talk about each other. Girl, you heard what happened? No. You see? You know how many people get mad at another person over something that they never heard themselves? I can't believe you talked to her this way. Were you there? No. Man, what you coming to fight me for? You wasn't even there. You didn't even hear me talk to her like that. In fact, it never happened. So put your earrings back on your ear and put your shoes back on because you're trying to fight me and you're mad at me for talking about this person in a fashion that never because you believe in hearsay. And it's the simple that believe every word. Every now and then I'm telling you, I'm going to try to open discernment up for you. So you can see it, so God can give it to you. You know? And then the age we live in, and I'm telling you, you're going to need it so bad. In the direction we're going on a national level, you're going to need this thing so bad. You understand what I'm saying? Don't slander, don't believe no half story, you know, and don't believe what somebody else say they saw, which is a character assassination type of thing, you know. Here's the deal, saints. How in the world you gonna believe Ahab and Jezebel over Naboth? How you going to believe Ahab and Jezebel over Naboth? How you going to believe the leaders of Israel who crucified Jesus, Yahshua the Christ, made the temple of God a den of thieves? You know what I'm saying? lie, pay for false witnesses. How you going to believe them over Stephen? All right? Here's something that I want to drop in your toolbox. All right? You have to be a good judge of character. Somebody say, Lord, make me a good judge of character. Right? A character is who somebody is. It's not just one act. A character is a series of actions that come together and form who a person is. You know? We all make mistakes here and there, but a mistake here and there don't judge the character of a person. I need you, Philly, in these last days, in Hebrews, to ask God for wisdom in being good judges of character. You understand what I'm saying? Of really knowing who one another are. You see, because when you're a good judge of character, amen, somebody can come to you and they can tell you, you understand what I'm saying? Renee Hill did, or Richard Hill did, or Tara Tebow did, or Keith did, or Brian did. When you are a good judge of character, you are less likely to believe slander and half-truths because you know these people. You live with these people. You watch them for years on end. And what they are saying is not consistent with what you know. So it stops you from receiving junk. What we have found in our, amen, as though it were, 10 years of ministry, people are not good judges of character. Even though they say they are not. And when somebody comes to them with something, amen, or they see something, amen, they quick to judge it and be critical, and it's not consistent with the character that they have known. Oh, I'm trying. It's not wisdom. It's not wisdom. And it's showing discernment. Come up with me. How you going to believe Jezebel? How you going to believe that about Naboth? How you going to believe that? And when I say that you grow in the area of character, judging character, you not only judge the character of the one being talked about, you judge the character of the one that's doing the talking. If you do that, it will be very complicated for the enemy to deceive you. Very complicated. Extremely, not impossible, but very complicated for the enemy to deceive you. All right? Because number one, you already geared up. I'm not believing a half a story. Number two, I know the person they're talking about because I've done a character analysis of who they are for the past 7 years I've been knowing them. And not only am I doing a character analysis of them, I am doing a character analysis of the person that's sending the half-truth of the message. And Jezebel, quite frankly, I do not believe you. Why? Because you have a character history of lying. You have a character history of murder. You have a character history of cheating. You are not even a worshiper of God. You have proclaimed the fast, but it's just a form of godliness, but you're denying the power thereof. I will not believe you because the person you're talking about is godly, while you yourself is the epitome or the epitome of ungodliness. I'm not being fooled by that. I am not being fooled by that. Listen, that's a no-brainer. That's a simple thing. You shall know them by their fruit. This is how you decide and delineate on which prophet you should believe or not. It's an easy thing. It's an easy thing. If you would seek wisdom and you would ask God for discernment and you would stop trusting your flesh. they do that? How they do that? Over good Christian people, they believe unbelievers. Over Holy Ghost filled, walking in the Spirit saints, they believe fleshly, if they save, carnal babies who don't know which direction God going. How you believe the Pharisees over Jesus? Leah, Jesus doing miracles. The blind seeing, the lame walking, the deaf hearing, the dumb speaking. He walking on water. He's stilling storms. He causing increase. People getting saved. The poor have the gospel preached on top. The dude is amazing. But the Pharisees come in. They say, give us Barabbas. This man has a devil. This man is a sinner. Like Frankie taught Tuesday, I don't know if he's a sinner or not. But what I do know, I once was blind and now I see. I'm judging. We go in, we believe stories, and we're not even looking at the people, Cam, who is coming from. We listening to the story. Now let me drop another nugget on you. Let me open up your chest for a second. Sometimes we believe half-truths not only because of unbiblical family ties. We believe it because we want to believe it. They come and talk about John. Now I've been knowing John. Hey, God. You know what I'm saying? I've been knowing John, man, since Van Buren, Country Acre Boys. You understand what I'm saying? All right? They come and talk about John. All right? Now, if I got something in my heart towards John already, I'm not going to use discernment. I'm not going to analyze his character or analyze the character of the person that's talking. I'm going to jump straight to the story, the half-truth. Not even getting his side, because why? I want to believe what they're saying about John, because John did me wrong one day when he cut me in line and he didn't tell me how. And he. Let's open up your chest. When you have aught against a person already, you will be more likely to believe the slander. All right? It's because you ain't done no hard work yourself. And it could be a little thing. Somebody did you, didn't do something for you, didn't wave at you, didn't, you know what I'm saying? A little thing. And they come and they tell you, girl, guess what Mel did? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I knew Mel was like that. Mel gave me the small cup for communion. I knew. The Bible says this. My little wife quoted all the time. Remember, we are usually tempted away by our own lust. Meaning that we have forbidden desires in our own heart. We have ways in which we are made, you know? And because we made a certain way and we got issues and we got problems, when somebody come, that thing latches on to our problem. And it make us believe a lie, you know? So I think about Naboth and the elders of his city. You know, maybe they was jealous of Naboth. Maybe they didn't like how good his field looked. Maybe Naboth was too godly for them. You know, but whatever it is, when the slander came, they jumped on it. Amen. Because they already had something in their heart. All right. I wonder if what you believe in about a person, amen, is not only a symptom of a half-truth, but also a symptom of a root of bitterness. Unresolved issue that you have going on in yourself. And here you are thinking bad about this person, and it's not even true, you know? But it's just because you hadn't done any hard work on your own. I'm here to call you to a higher level today. Examine yourself. Examine your own heart. The very people you don't like this morning, the very people you hate this morning, the very people you believe in all kind of stuff about this morning. Amen. You believe in it because the devil put a foothold there in your own heart. And that lie had something to attach to. You see, when your heart is free and you forgive everybody and you love everybody like you're supposed to, when the devil tell a lie, that lie go in one ear and go out the other, because you don't have no ought against that person. All right? They can't tell me nothing about Brother Noah. You understand what I'm saying? I never saw it. I never heard. They can't tell me nothing about it. I ain't got nothing against Brother Nola. And so when they said it, whoop, one ear out the other. You understand what I'm saying? But what if I had a problem with Brother Nola? You know? He give everybody them sweet potato cakes but me. You know? And the boy walk around here eating that while I'm at work. And so a report come about Brother Nolan, and unbeknownst to me, I grab hold of it because I have all. Because I have all. I'm going to get my sweet potato. But y'all know I'm just playing. Amen. Brother Nolan, you know that your good friend passed away, huh, Brother Nolan? You heard about it? All right. And so we gotta be good judges of character, and we gotta watch what's going on in our own heart, you know. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, saints, here we go. Here we go. We're gonna stomp right here. All right. We talked about how they suborned men, how they went in private and slandered Stephen. You know? And we got a number one, make sure we don't slander nobody. Number two, don't receive no half-truths, no half-stories. Get the whole story, all right? Number three, man, we cannot have any unbiblical relationships and ties with people that make us receive their stories without questioning, without getting all the facts and the issues. And number four, saints, listen, we cannot allow ourselves to hold aught against somebody, all right? And give place to the devil like that, you know? I'm telling you, man, this is a chronic problem for our people. Saints of God, listen, this is so dear to me and so dear to God because 2,000 years ago, this was the same way they used, same thing they used to crucify our Lord. We're going to see here in a hot minute, they not only kill neighbor, but they're going to kill Stephen like this. Right? Right? But what the devil didn't know was what he meant for bad against Jesus, Yahshua, God worked it for good. Amen? Amen? He worked it for good. He worked it for good. And Jesus endured that slander. He endured the blasphemy of sinful men. They saying he got a devil when he the Holy One of Israel. He endured all of that. And why did he do it? He did it so that we can be saved. I want to tell you, amen, the gospel. That Jesus Christ came from heaven to earth, born of a virgin, lived a perfect, sinless life, with no sin. He was betrayed, sold into the hands by Judas Iscariot to the Gentiles. He was whipped with the cat of nine tails, beaten to a pulp. He was, hallelujah, laid on that cross, his hands pierced, his feet pierced, his side pierced. He died on that cross. He gave up the ghost. There was no passing out, no swoon theory. Nah, his spirit left his body. It is finished. He died and they buried him in that tomb. And the leaders of Israel said, listen, we need a battalion of soldiers to watch over that tomb. Because that deceiver said that on the third day he would rise. And Pilate said, go ahead on and put your soldiers out there. Make it as sure as you can. And the Bible tells us, amen, that an angel came on that third day and rolled away that stone. And the soldiers was out there with all their weapons, but when they felt the earthquake, the Bible said the soldiers began to shake and shudder. And they ran. And Jesus rose again from the dead. Mary and the disciples came in there, amen. And the angels say, hey, God, hallelujah, I know whom you seek, but he's not here. He's risen, just like he said. The angels said, come and see the place where the Lord lay. They came there and they saw the clothes wrapped up, amen, just like they had wrapped them. The clothes was lying there by itself, like Jesus had, hallelujah, transported himself, evaporated himself out of the clothes, and he rose again. There was no way for anybody to unwrap him. The clothing wasn't unwrapped. It was still wrapped like the body was in it, but Jesus was gone. He rose on that third day with all power and with all might. And Thomas said, listen, I'm not going to believe. I'm not going to believe until I stick my hand in his side and my finger into the hole of the nails. And Jesus appeared to him. Jesus appeared, Brother Sherman, and said, Thomas, be not unbelieving, but be believing. Be believing, Thomas. Reach in your hand hither. Come on, put your finger in these nail prints. That's the Savior we preach at Philadelphia. And you can have him this morning. And you can be saved this morning. And you can be forgiven this morning. And you can be shown mercy this morning. How? Huh? Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We admit we sinners. We believe in his whole story. We don't accept the slander of the devil, half-truths. No, we read the whole truth and none but the truth. He lives, y'all. My Redeemer lives. We admit we sinners, we believe him, and then we open our mouth and we confess. We confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And we will live for him and do our best to strive to be conformed unto his image. We believe, y'all. We believe. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Listen, we're going to have an altar call. And if you're here and you've heard this gospel like you've never heard it before, you've heard this thing and it's got your heart on fire, and you want to make sure that you're saved this morning. Listen, in a second, you're going to be able to come, and I'm going to pray with you. You're going to confess him as Lord, and God's going to save you on the spot. But there's another group I want to call. I want to call a group that grew up with a family of slanderers. You like me, we like Isaiah. A people with unclean lips, a man of unclean lips, dwelling amongst a people with unclean lips. He was talking about them Hebrews back then. And you want God to fix it. You want God to fix it. God, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. God can fix it. God can fix it. God can take a dirty mouth and make it clean. You don't have to slander nobody else. If you hear amen and you're prone to believe slander, you don't do character analysis, right? I won't pray for you. That God will put on you a last day's discernment and a wisdom. That though the Antichrist would come, amen, you being one of the elect, you're not going to be deceived. Maybe you have some unbiblical ties and relationship with family and friends and got you going their way when you know it's not the right way. I'm going to pray for you. You're going to come to a revelation like Jesus. Who is my mother, my father, my brother? Who are they? But they that obey the word of the Lord. Maybe you're here and you have an ought. You're mad at something somebody said or something somebody did, and that has caused you to believe a lie. I just want to pray for you. The ushers have opened up the gates. And if there's any other reason you need the altar, you know it's the Lord's Supper. Any other reason you need the altar, go ahead and come. Go ahead and come. Go ahead and come. Just want to pray for you. I want to pray for your discernment. I want to pray for your wisdom. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. I really, really want to pray for you. You know, I want to pray for you. Thank you. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for your strength. Because maybe where God is taking you, amen, get ready. People about to talk about you. I want to pray for your strength. I want to pray for our people. That we would stop. That we would stop. That we would stop. Y'all ready? Somebody say, Father God.
Father God.
Yahweh.
Most High.
Here I am. Standing. In the need of prayer.
I admit.
I'm a sinner. And I've done wrong. In my life. Please forgive me. Of all my sins. Especially. The sins of my mouth.
Lord, I believe
that you died on the cross
for all my sins.
You were buried in the grave
and you rose on the
third day.
Lord, save me,
a sinner.
You promised
that if I believe
that you would save me.
I believe you now.
Save me now.
I confess
that
Jesus
is Lord
to the glory
of God the Father.
And Lord, I give you permission
to fix
in me
everything
that's broken
and that's out of place.
I need you,
Daddy.
Help me be the
person
you created me to be.
I pray that you help
me
never to slander
anyone,
especially
my people.
I pray, God,
that I would not receive
half-truths
and half-stories.
Give me
wisdom.
Give me
discernment.
I need it,
Lord.
A last day's
anointing.
I receive it now.
Send it on down,
Daddy.
Give me
discernment
and wisdom
like Solomon,
like Jesus,
like Ruth,
like
Abigail.
Help me, Lord,
to see through lies
and to
see that devil
a mile
away.
Break
every
unbiblical
relationship
in my life.
I want to
serve God.
And
I can't have two
masters.
Lord, lastly,
I need you
to help
me.
Wait up.
Spirit got to give it to
me. Spirit got to give it
to me.
Come on, Holy Ghost.
I had it.
There it is.
Thank you, Lord.
I need you
to help
me.
Forgive.
See
how the devil tried
to take that away from me?
That's
the most important thing.
He tried
to take it from me.
Thank you, Lord.
I need you to help me, Lord.
To forgive
those who have
wronged
me.
Those who have wronged. I release it.
I release it.
I let it go.
I let it go.
Just open your hands. Open your hands. Come on. Just open your hands. 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 Holy Spirit, right now, go in them and break every foothold. Break every stronghold. Break every noose. Break every rope. Break every chain. Break every grudge. Uproot every root of bitterness. I don't care if it's about mama. It's about daddy. It's about sister. It's about brother. It's about cousin. It's about niece. It's about nephew. It's about pastor. It's about first lady. It's about the minister. It's about the deacons. It's about the members of this church. Whatever it is, daddy, go in there, Holy Ghost, and uproot it right now. The devil been using it too long, and through a root of bitterness many are defiled. But oh Lord, you come, and it's the anointing that destroys the yokes. Hey, he who the Son has set free is free indeed. So Son, come on in. Set your people free from grudges, Lord God, from bitterness, Lord God, from unforgiveness, Lord God. Go in there and make the bitter water sweet, Lord God. Oh God, drop the cross into that thing. Hey, help them to be merciful as you've been merciful for them. Oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus, help us, Lord, to be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ has forgiven us. Help us, Daddy. Help us, Daddy. Help us, Daddy. Help us be good character. Character judges. We say all of these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, give God some glory. Come on, say in Jesus' name. Say in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Just hold my hand. Just stretch over. Now, Lord, I believe in the biblical concept of impartation. And one person can impart something to another. And I believe in it. Father, I may not have all the gifts. I may not be Jesus. But I have some things that maybe your people need. My wife, she's got some things that your people need. Father, tap into the gifts you have given us. You the gift giver. Dig deep into my wife right now and pull out that wisdom gift, God. That wisdom gift, God, and impart it right now. Pull it out and stretch it out like a cloud over this church, over your people. And let people receive the wisdom of God right now in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray that eyes be open, God. And they receive it in the mighty name of Jesus. Both men and women alike, God, even put more of it on me. I receive it, Lord God. Wisdom King. And Daddy, reach deep in me. And pull out that discernment gift. Eyes to see into the spiritual. Ears to hear. A nose to smell. Oh God, reach deep in me. And pull out that discernment you've given me and stretch it out upon your people. Impart to them wisdom and discernment like they've never had in their life. Let them see it. Let them know it. Let them walk in it. Daddy, in the mighty name of Jesus, on the whole ministry of Philadelphia, I pray the word on the street be, that's a discerning church. That's a wise church. Speak it over us, Daddy, and every man, woman, and child in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, give God some glory. Come on, give him some glory. Come on, give him a shout up in here. You got to shout like you believe it. Hey! Hallelujah. Listen, we're going to do the Lord's Supper. Ushers and communion helpers, if y'all can come and help us out. Amen. Glory to God. And those that's in the back of the church, we have some communion stations, amen, in the back of the church. And so you can go at this time and grab you a cup, amen, with the bread in it, amen, and the juice, hallelujah. And we're going to do communion. We're going to do communion like a family. We're going to come together and we're going to do communion. Amen. I want you to take one and just return to your seat so everybody can, glory to God, get a chance. Hey, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. If you're here and you really don't believe in God and you don't want nothing to do with him, I tell you, don't take communion now. Don't play with God. But if you're here and you're seeking after him and you love him, and you can say to him, amen, Lord, forgive me for known and unknown sin. Go ahead and come and get that. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Impartation. 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 If you only knew how powerful impartation was. You know, when I was in law school, I was under one of probably the best teachers in Baton Rouge in the Word. And I saw him one day, and I heard about impartation. And when he was in my presence, I prayed the prayer that Elisha prayed when he was in the presence of Elijah. I looked at that man of God, and I said, man of God, I want a double portion of your spirit. God, in the name of Jesus, I need a double portion of your spirit. And right then and there, hey, God, I believe that God gave me the impartation that I asked for. You got to believe in impartation. I'm telling you here. It's a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual thing. And I believe that there are some under the sound of my voice. If you can grab on to that, you can get anything from God you want. That's going to bring him glory. You just got to say, God, I want it. Just got to say, God, I want it. Just got to say, God, I need it. All for your glory. He's not a respecter of persons. What he does for one son, he'll do for another. What he does for one daughter, he will do for another. Anything you see, any child of God operating in, you can ask for it. I hope somebody got it. On the night that he was betrayed, our Lord took the bread, he gave thanks, and he broke it. He said, take this, eat all of it, all of you. For this is my body, which is broken for you. Broken for you. For you. For you to be saved and delivered and blessed. Do this in remembrance of me, Jesus says. Let us eat together and remember his passion. Bible says in the same manner he took the cup after supper. He raised up the cup and he said, take this, drink ye all of it. This is my blood of the new covenant. Remember, you can't have a covenant without blood. He says, I'm not going to cut my hand to make it possible for you to give a covenant. I'm going to spill all my blood out for you. Say, drink all of it. Drink all of it in remembrance of me. Let's drink in remembrance. Yes, he's good, y'all. Oh, he's so good. He's so good this morning here. He's so good. He's so good. I'm telling you, he is so good, saints. He is so good. Listen, I love the spirit that's in the place right now. We're going to leave just like this. I love the spirit. He's good, somebody say. Come on, he's good, somebody. He's good, amen. He's good. Hallelujah. May the Lord bless you. And may he keep you. And may he cause his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance upon you. And bless you with peace, with shalom. And I pray he protect you all the days of your life.
Love you.
Give you good health and long life to your children, your children's children.
and to yourself as well. I pray he protect you from slander and that he bless you to never slander anybody. We're coming out as a new people, saints. We are one in the sight of God. Love y'all. Be blessed in Jesus' name.